Sadly, when many of your friends, co-workers, and neighbors think of Christians, they don't think of Jesus, love, or kindness. They think of people who are judgmental, opinionated, and hypocritical. Are we surprised there are so many empty pews in churches? As a Christian, have you ever thought about the kind of impression you make on others?
That's the Reverend Dr. Charlie Reeb, and today he brings you an inspiring message of faith entitled, Lose the Cape. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce today's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Charlie Reeb, who since July of this year has been senior pastor of Johns Creek United Methodist Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. Previously, he served as pastor of Pasadena Community Church, United Methodist Congregation in St. Petersburg, Florida. He earlier served churches in Castleberry and Lakeland, Florida, and Atlanta and Athens, Georgia. Charlie is a graduate of Florida Southern College and Candler School of Theology at Emory University and earned a Doctor of Ministry degree from Columbia Theological Seminary. He is the author of several books, including That'll Preach, Five Simple Steps to Make Your Best Sermon Ever, and coming next year, Say Something, Simple Ways to Make Your Sermons Matter. Charlie, welcome to Day One.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
You have preached several times on Day One over the past dozen years or so, and were last with us a couple of years ago, but now you are the senior pastor of a different church in a different area, Johns Creek United Methodist Church in the Atlanta metro area. What was it that drew you to Johns Creek?
Well, quite honestly, I'm from Atlanta. I grew up here, and this is home. And so when the call came to come to Johns Creek and come back to Atlanta, that was a big part of it. But I was 10 years at Pasadena Community Church and St. Pete. Loved that congregation. It was a great experience. But I truly felt called, not only because this is home, but I really felt a sense from God that He wanted me here to do some new things for the church.
And the church is thriving and growing, and I understand that the work of making disciples there is organized around three strategic ministry steps: gathering, growing, going. Help us understand how Johns Creek United Methodist does those three ministry steps, how they're expressed in the church, in the neighborhood, in the world.
Sure. Well, the church has a long history of being really effective with hospitality. And so they have done their best over the years to gather people, understand the importance of when people come to worship, to having that good experience and feeling loved and feeling warmed and feeling welcomed. And then part of the process after that is really assimilating into the church. And the church has a variety of ways of doing that. Not only Sunday school classes, which are really important, but the church is starting to diversify its way of putting people into small groups, helping them grow in small groups. Because as we know, worship is important, but people really grow spiritually when they're involved and invested in a small group. And so we're trying to diversify that experience right now so people can really grow in that experience. And then in terms of going, we really emphasize not only going to share your faith with others, but going into the community. The church is already involved in the community in various ways. And so it's kind of a 1-2 punch in the sense of going and sharing your faith, inviting people to church, but also going out into the community and bringing the church to the community. And so we have lots of different programs and ministries that try to express that.
It seems as though these days the church continually struggles with the fact that people's schedules are so overbooked. How do you overcome that in order to get people involved in their discipleship growing and other activities of the church?
Yeah, that's a good question. The old way of doing church, you know, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, that's really, for some people it still works, but especially in this area of Atlanta with many people working, sometimes both parents working, quite often that's the case. And we're even seeing how our preschool schedule needs to change and offer longer programs for parents. So I think it's being creative, understanding that small groups, for example, can happen at any time, whether it's a morning, whether it's at a home during the evening, and not staying in the same paradigm of we have to do it this way, but considering people's schedules and meeting them where they are with their schedule and not being afraid to go in that direction.
How would you describe the community the church is in, Johns Creek?
Well, Johns Creek really is a thriving community. As many people know, it's grown a lot over the last 20, 25 years as the growth of Atlanta has moved north. Mm-hmm. And it's still very much thriving, a corporate area, very successful. But it is changing a bit. It's becoming more diverse, which is great. There's a large Asian population in the area, Indian population. And so we're seeing that. And our church is trying really hard to incorporate the diversity of the community into the church. And so it's changing in that way as well.
And you are not far from Johns Creek Baptist Church, a church founded by one of your beloved mentors and mine, Dr. Bill Self, who passed away nearly 3 years ago now. This is a huge question, but how did Bill impact your life?
Well, I think on a couple levels. One, I lost my father at a young age, and so when Bill came along, he really was a father figure to me and influenced me in that way and being a loving, strong presence because, you know, everybody needs a father, a father figure, and so he became that to me. But on another level, he influenced my ministry, especially preaching. As many of you know, he had such a gift for preaching. And was so skilled at it and so masterful at it. And so his thoughts on preaching, but just the way he preached, listening to his sermon since I was a kid, and the way he could marry passion with a strong, reasonable faith together just influenced me a great deal. But I think most of all, he influenced me in the way of not being afraid to be convicted as a preacher, standing up and throwing your head back and really expressing what God has put on your heart. Because he said to me one time, you know, Charlie, many people come to church to experience the convictions of the preacher. And it's important, of course, that we stay in tune with God in prayer with that. But it always stuck with me when he said that.
And we at Day One are very honored that we will be able to present the Bill Self Sermon Archives that are digitized and being digitized on our website. What an incredible leader and preacher. And your sermon this week draws from the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 12. Would you read it for us?
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any question."
An interesting encounter between a scribe and Jesus here. Charlie, what was at stake here for Jesus in engaging with this religious leader?
Well, I think for Jesus, I mean, he was always challenging the religious leaders. And of course, when you see, whenever Jesus got good and angry and frustrated, it was usually at the religious leaders. And so I think for Jesus, in this context and in many other contexts, for him, it was him trying to express and for them to understand that they were turning religion and faith into just a bunch of rules and to fundamentalism, and for them to see the bigger picture of, okay, what's really the most important? Let's sum up the faith and one simple commandment, and for them to say, you know, you're focusing on all the wrong things and all the details. Let's really get to the heart of all this.
Your sermon is entitled, "Lose the Cape." Charlie, thanks for sharing it with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And if you'd like to listen again to today's program or read or share a transcript of Charlie Reeb's sermon, visit our website at dayone.org. Or for a free printed sermon transcript, call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1.
When I was in college, I went to a pool party. I remember it being pretty tame by college standards. The parents were home. However, the dad of the house was a lot of fun. We joked around, laughed, and carried on. Later in the evening, we were sitting by the pool, and the father asked me what my major was. I told him it was religion. He laughed and said, "Yeah, right." I said, "No, I'm serious. It's religion." He asked, "Why religion?" I told him I was going to be a preacher. He said, "A what? You don't seem like any preacher I know." I took it as a compliment. "You laugh and joke and have fun. You seem normal." Before I left the party, he said something to me I'll never forget. "I'm in my 50s, and you're the first Christian I've ever met that I actually enjoyed being around." I don't tell you that story because I'm the hero, because believe me, I'm not usually the hero of my stories. I share it because the dad at the party was not alone. There are many people who have never had a positive experience of Christians. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." Robert Louis Stevenson once entered into his diary, "I've been to church today, and I'm not depressed." Of course, Gandhi was famous for saying, "I like your Christ, it's Christians I have a problem with." Shane Claiborne put it well. Over the years, Christianity has lost its fascination because it looks less and less like Jesus. Sadly, when many of your friends, coworkers, and neighbors think of Christians, they don't think of Jesus, love, or kindness. They think of people who are judgmental, opinionated, and hypocritical. Are we surprised there are so many empty pews in churches? As a Christian, have you ever thought about the kind of impression you make on others? What words would people use to describe you? Jesus is clear about the impression he wants us to make in this world. In Mark, when Jesus was questioned about the supreme commandment of the faith, he replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Notice the key word is love. What was most important to Jesus had nothing to do with theology, biblical interpretation, or rules to follow. It had everything to do with how well we love. I believe that's what Jesus had in mind when he commanded, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Imagine if every Christian in this world, that's 2.2 billion people, over 30% of the world's population, got up every day, read these verses, and said, "Today, I'm going to let my love light shine. Today, everything I think, say, and do will reflect the greatest commandment." Can you imagine? It would be a different world. Unfortunately, many Christians hide their lights under a bushel by favoring judgment over grace, hate over love, rules over relationships, dogma over forgiveness, and despair over hope. Many years ago, while serving another church, an angry lady came to see me. She sat down in my office and said, "I have problems with your sermons." I replied, "Well, what's that?" She said, "You preach on love too much." I replied, "Come again?" "Before we go any further, I want to suggest that you never repeat that. You'll not come across very well to others." That didn't go very well, but she was not deterred. She continued, "You preach on love too much. Where is the judgment? Where is the talk about sin?" I responded, "Well, I believe those subjects deserve attention, but last time I checked, Jesus said the world will know we're his disciples not by our judgment or self-righteousness, but by our love for one another." I'd like to tell you that she had a change of heart, but she didn't. She left my office angrier than when she came in. Sitting in judgment was more important to her than it was to Jesus. Jesus didn't say, let your judgment and opinion shine so that no one in their right mind would want to be a Christian. Unfortunately, this is often the reality. Too many Christians are known by their opinions than by their love for others. Bob Goff said, only Jesus has the power to change people, and it will be harder for them to see Jesus if their view of him is blocked by our big opinions. When we uncover our light by removing our judgments and opinions, we'll be a lot more attractive to the world. Believe me, there is nothing more attractive than the gospel. Our message is the most attractive message in the world. God created us, loves us, redeemed us, and wants a relationship with us. The late Aretha Franklin understood the attractiveness of God's light and love. She once said, "When God loves you, what can be better than that?" She was right. There is nothing better than that. But there are a lot of people who don't know that love, who don't know they are loved. This is a cold and dark world filled with people who are desperate for our light. Many are wondering if the violence and evil around us is all there is. Are you letting your light shine? This beat-up world is watching us, wondering if our faith is genuine. If not, why should they bother with our faith? They don't expect us to be perfect, but they do expect to see some evidence that the love of Christ is real. And how can they know unless we let it shine? Either we believe Jesus Christ is a help in the hope of the world, or we don't. Either we believe Jesus is the light of the world, or we don't. Either we believe the light of Christ is within us, or we don't. I like the movie The Incredibles. It's about a family of superheroes who try to save the world from destruction. In Bob Goff's book, Love Does, he writes about the superhero dad in the movie. He's an insurance claims adjuster, but he really wants to use his superhero powers. He begins drawing pictures of the superhero suits he wants to wear. And of course, all the suits he draws include capes. The dad has a friend named Edna who makes superhero suits, and she keeps telling him that he needs to lose the cape. She mentions how capes cause big problems for superheroes. They get caught on things like fences or jet engines. Edna is famous for saying, "No capes. You get a lot more stuff done if you lose the cape." Bob Goff thinks Jesus agrees, and so do I. You know what I think will draw the world to Christ? When Christians lose the cape. So many of us who follow Christ do it with a cape representing something. An issue we are against. Our opinions or judgments. A cape symbolizing our denomination or political views or how we interpret Scripture. Soon we become known by our capes and not by Jesus. Our capes hide our light. Another problem is that if we go around serving Jesus with capes, they eventually get snagged on something. Our pride, other people's feelings, people's perceptions of Christians. Our capes get in the way. Goff reminds us that Jesus never wore a cape. Jesus hardly ever talked to anyone about what he had done, the way he loved people. He just did it. And all that mattered to him was that God knew it. When we lose the cape, we don't get confused about what our purpose is, which is to love. We don't forget that it's God who's making things happen. All our energy is channeled into doing great things for God and loving the world like crazy. Let's lose the cape as Christians and just go out and share the light and love of Jesus. When we serve Jesus without a cape, people will want to know more about Jesus. Be the change you want to see in the world. I don't know who said that, but they were spot on. If you prefer, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. Lose the cape and let your light shine. Let us pray. Lord, help us lose the cape and let your love light shine in this world that so desperately needs it. Amen.
Our preacher today was the Reverend Dr. Charlie Reeb, senior pastor of Johns Creek United Methodist Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. For a free printed transcript of his message entitled Lose the Cape, call us toll free at 1-888-411-DAY1. That's 888-411-3291. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. To listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos, visit us online at dayone.org. Day 1 is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you. If you appreciate what you hear, please consider sending a tax-deductible donation. We're grateful for your much-needed support. Again, our address is Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, Dr. Charlie Reeb returns with a challenging message entitled, Why Christianity? Be sure to tune in next time on Day 1. This is Sherry Miller. The Day One Ministry has been shining the light of God's love for more than 73 years. Through wars, cultural earthquakes, economic fears, and political crises, the Day One radio program and podcast bring to you and countless others the light of hope that God offers us in the Bible. If you've been blessed by Day One, please offer a gift in gratitude. We really need your support at this time of year. You can mail your gift to Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. That's 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. Or call us at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Your gift can help Day One do its part in sharing God's light with those who are still in the darkness. Thank you for your prayers and your generosity. Charlie Reeb offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Charlie, you gave us several examples of one big reason why more people aren't Christian, and that reason is other Christians. Those who are judgmental rather than joyful and negative rather than encouraging and anything but loving. Why do you think that is such a problem? Why can't we Christians get what God is all about?
Well, I think, well, first of all, we're human and we make mistakes and we all fall short of the glory of God. I think many Christians lose their way because issues come along, opinions come along, judgments come along, and they can be so strong and people are so convicted about them that they can lose their way and they're blinded by their opinions and judgments. And I think all of us are susceptible to that. And that's why I think we need to be centered on the greatest commandment as much as possible.
And you asked us if we're letting our light shine in the world. What are some ways we can do that? Probably a lot easier than we may think.
I agree. Just smiling at people. I think just being aware of how we come across to people in public, whether it's in a shopping mall or a grocery store, to strangers that we meet, asking them how their day is, calling them by their name if you know, see their name tag. I think it's just simple things like that in life. It's just being self-aware of how we're coming across to other people is the first step.
I loved your lose the cape analogy. We Christians tend to get wrapped up in our capes that represent some opinion or judgment or political view, or our capes get snagged on something like pride or other people's feelings. Would you say more about why it's so important for Christians to lose the cape?
Well, I think the truest answer to that would be so people can see Jesus in us rather than our opinions and our judgments. I think at the end of the day, that's our role, is to reflect Jesus to the world. And it's hard many times for people to see Jesus when our opinions are overshadowing the example of Jesus.
Charlie, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
Well, don't hide your light under a bushel by all your capes, but instead let the light of Jesus shine.
Charlie Reeb, thank you for being with us. We look forward to having you back next week.
Thank you.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.